Wait for the Glovers, wait for the Glovers. They're gonna be here any minute, so we will wait. Bow!
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's another geeky bonus episode! Mostly we talk about Star Wars. It's pretty great. We're rock hard.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover. I am joined, as always, by my cum-host.
Cum-host?
I'm not leaving cum-hosts.
You're not leaving cum-hosts.
Oh, my God. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, not my cum-hosts. Gross. Tim Wick.
Hello.
And my cum-host, Nick Glover.
I suppose. I mean, host in that, like, I... No, never mind.
I would say maybe I'm more your cum-host. Boy, hi everybody! Welcome to Geeks Without
God. That's how we're gonna start that.
That is how we're gonna start it. Welcome to December, the month of cum hosting.
May all your cum hosts be joyous.
Yes.
Oh, come all ye cum
hosts.
Right, never mind.
Okay. It is a Geeky Boners episode.
Yes, I
know we're all very excited about that.
That might explain why we started out with cum hosts.
That's exactly why. I know that is when I think boners, I think cum hosts. Anyway, so in case you're not familiar, Geeky Boners are where we talk about the geeky things that are having us like rock hard right now that we're either very excited for or about or have been geeking out on so hard that we are tumescent with geek love for the things.
Tumescent?
Yeah.
Ah, damn.
That's right. That's a good word.
That's a good word. $5 bodice ripper word.
Yeah. I will tell you that I've been hard for mine for so long that I've almost got priapism. But I'm gonna.
Another $5 word.
I know. Damn. I'm gonna let Tim go first, though. Tim,
we're gonna have to start looking up words on our podcast.
Tim, tell me about your erection.
My erection. I've been very excited lately to be watching some of the fall television series. I've been catching up on The Flash over the last couple of days. Have you guys watched any of The Flash?
I haven't watched The Flash at all.
Not a single bit.
I have seen Gotham.
I heard it's too. Smallville.
I never watched Smallville, so I don't give a fuck. But it's given that most superhero stuff is pretty dark, this one has, I think, a lighter tone to it that I like. I mean, yeah, there's kind of angsty romantic stuff, but I mean that feels like part of what I've read in comic books growing up. You know, the whole superhero who's in love with the girl, but he can't tell the girl that he's really a superhero because if he did, then
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, that's like, even though this is a DC show, that's like Marvel bread and butter right there.
So, superheroes as real people. That's Marvel.
So tell us about it because we're not familiar. So is it like he's young? Is it like he has his powers?
It's the Barry Allen Flash, and
okay.
not a really deep DC guy. So somebody's going to correct me. I think the origin story is somewhat similar to his
chemicals.
It's actually like a particle accelerator explodes and gives him superpowers.
I could be confusing my Flashes because there's been a few,
uh-huh.
And the Golden Age Flash might have a different origin story than the contemporary Flash, but I think it's like, oh no, chemicals, like spill, lab accident.
We're talking about the show. In the show, it's a particle accelerator.
It's all science, he's the Flash.
Okay.
And I like they're doing some cool, there's some stuff that I'm not nuts about. I don't want to go too deep into spoiler territory because you guys haven't seen it yet. What I do like is they're escalating his powers week to week. So, you know, they know he's fast. He heals very quickly and all this stuff. But, like, there's one week where he's like, looking to rescue somebody. He's like, how fast do I have to go to run up a wall? Which he's never done before. And they're like, well, you'd probably need to go this fast, and you've never gone that fast. And they're like, well, we'll give it a shot. And he runs up a wall. And then the next week, he's like, well, how fast do I have to run on water?
Sure.
You know. Cool. And so they're
figuring out the limits to his
power. They're figuring out the limits to his powers bit by bit. And I'm enjoying that. I also like the guy who plays Barry Allen. I think he's charming.
Okay.
He should be.
He's got
Flash is charming.
He's just, you know, he seems pretty fucking jazzed about the fact that he can move really fast.
I wouldn't be.
Fucking jazzed about the fact that he can use that power to help people. But there are also times where he's just like, I can totally use this power to make coffee for everybody in the Starbucks line so I can make the line go away faster.
Who wouldn't do that? I mean, I would totally abuse my speed powers.
Is he a teenager? He's
supposed 20s? To be in his 20s.
An adult? Okay,
sure. He's a forensic scientist. And anyway, I think it's a pretty good show. And the other show that I've been watching is Gotham.
Okay.
And I'm not totally caught up on Gotham. I just watched episode 7, and I think there's like 2 more episodes after that. Really like what they're doing with Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard he's a standout.
Yeah, well, they're doing some really interesting things with that character. I mean, I think there are things about Gotham that it's like, well, every time you put Gordon in danger, I know he's going to be okay.
Right.
Because he can't be Commissioner Gordon if he dies when he's Lieutenant Gordon.
Exactly. And unless you're going to do an alternate timeline, which I doubt you are, because the whole point is for this to be... Like kind of
and you know they've only been dumb enough to put Bruce Wayne in jeopardy once.
Yeah,
you know, because there again, well, why would I even be worried about Bruce Wayne right now?
If you kill Bruce Wayne, this show is over and no one is watching it. Like I mean, just like it's not even
so. So there's that, but they are doing a good job with coming up with a lot of villains that are not from the comic book series. So that gives a little more. Play and they've done a lot of weird things that you don't expect with Penguin. He's not the Penguin that you know and recognize, I think, either from the comics or like from the really crappy Penguin that was in the Tim Burton movie or anything like that.
Oh, he was all right. He wasn't. I don't know. I was fine with that actually.
Really?
I mean, I guess it fit the movie.
I'm gonna eat raw fish, Penguin.
It fit the movie. It fit the every other choice they made with the movie.
It was like, better than Mr. Freeze.
Right.
Well, if that's your bar, you know, come on.
Everybody, chill.
My point is, it wasn't anywhere near as good as fucking Catwoman in that same movie.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's like there's the two movies. There's the Catwoman movie and there's the Penguin movie, and you're like, why the fuck is this Penguin movie?
But like this the mini Penguin movie is terrible. Though, okay, so like, the other movie.
One of my favorite things about the Penguin is that even though he's clearly like a cliched Batman, the villain that's like some sort of a weird archetype, like, I'm a Joker and I'm a guy that tells riddles and what's your thing? Oh, I'm obsessed with Lewis Carroll. I'm a Hatter.
I'm crazy about cats.
I'm crazy about cats. I love cats. Every villain's gimmick. The Penguin's is that, I mean, he's penguin-themed, but that has nothing to do with his, like, crime. He is just, like, the ultimate... white collar criminal,
and he's just got, you know, this obsession with penguins that he carries into his.
It's like if Chris Buchholz all of a sudden turned supervillain. You'd be like, people who knew Cobblepot before are probably like, oh yeah, he's always had a thing for penguins. This doesn't surprise me. Like if I was like the Mad Goat and like my heist was mountain based and I was always stealing cans, you guys would be like, well, that makes sense. She loves goats.
She's a goat. Those two shows I've been watching them. I've been really, really digging on them. I think that's been my boner. The Flash and Gotham. I feel like they both.
Tim's boner was Flash.
I saw it.
I'm so sorry.
We just all saw it.
Neither of us saw the Flash.
It was gone in the blink of an eye, as they say.
Nick, tell me about your boner.
So, as I'm sure everyone in the entire fucking world is aware, the episode 7, The Force Awakens trailer went up on Black Friday, right?
On Black Friday, that's right.
It was released in some theaters, and it was released online on iTunes and YouTube, Friday the 28th. Mm-hmm. And it's directed by J.J. Abrams, comes out a year. Yeah. 1 year and like a week, we'll have a new fucking Star Wars movie.
A real one.
A real one.
A real Star Wars movie, not like some knockoff kind of separate licensing, Clone War, Jedi Trooper.
The trailer is like a minute and 20 seconds long, and that's my boner. Not a minute and 20 seconds long, but the trailer.
It's usually like at least a minute 30,
It's narrated by Andy Serkis, though his role has not been identified yet.
Not Benedict Cumberbatch. People were getting...
No.
Benedict Cumberbatch posted it to his official page, and people got all freaked out and thought that that was his way of saying he was...
Damn, Internet. Benedict Cumberbatch doesn't have to be in everything.
I know, right?
Yeah. But
I am an otter like my father before me. No, I'm a Jedi like my otter before me.
Otters that look like Benedict Cumberbatch. If you haven't seen the website, I recommend it. So the movie takes place 30 years after episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just little, you know, they show like someone on like a speeder bike that looks like a USB thumb drive. And you know, the protagonist is a woman, that or, you know, a girl, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
They also showed John Boyega, the lead actor from Attack the Block, as a stormtrooper without his helmet, probably on Tatooine. They showed a lot of Tatooine.
And he may or may not be a stormtrooper.
He may or may not be a stormtrooper.
He could be a non-stormtrooper in a stormtrooper suit.
It may not be Tatooine. There's lots of other desert planets. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it depends on where they're... But yeah,
it's Star Wars though. It's probably Tatooine,
Dantooine. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, there's other.
So they, I just gotta say, after the trailer came out, I saw maybe 120 pictures of him in the stormtrooper armor with the words on the bottom, "We ain't found shit," from the Spaceballs. Yeah, from Spaceballs. Yeah, right. So I just the joke has been made quite a bit, but I think he looks great in a stormtrooper. The new stormtrooper outfits look super cool. The helmets look like totally the next step in a stormtrooper armor. Mm-hmm. They don't look different enough to be anger fans. Their guns have lights on them, and they look like weapons. They look like not plastic toys.
It's the difference between, you know, like when sometimes a car comes out. Mm-hmm. And you have a car, and then like the next version comes out in like 4 or 5 years, and it's a little bit rounder.
Yeah, right.
And it's just got some slight changes are made.
You can tell, that's also a Volkswagen Jetta, but it's a 2014, not a 2010. Yeah.
You know what I like about it in the little bit that I've seen compared to the prequels is it looks dirty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But not like brown lens covered grit. Like,
no,
it doesn't look dirty. It looks not that. What's you describe a hospital?
Grimy.
No. Germy. For clean, antiseptic.
Yeah, the way the prequels look.
Yeah,
it's like everything is squeaky clean. No, it's shiny. It's,
I think the two biggest things in the trailer that people talked about. I know the two that really I got pretty excited about. Was they show the Millennium Falcon?
Fucking A, they do.
They show the Millennium Falcon dogfighting with TIE fighters. In atmosphere above the same, presumably, Tatooine. So, I mean, we haven't seen a lot of, like, Millennium Falcon or TIE fighters, for that matter, fighting in atmosphere. It's usually in space.
Yeah.
In what we've seen so far. So that's cool. They showed, the new X-Wings look super great.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And they show them cruising over water with, like, a big fin of water.
Yeah.
And then they show a mysterious cloaked figure who's kind of slenderish, I would imagine.
Kind of Sith looking.
Yeah, clearly. Walking through the forest, who kind of comes to a stop and like whips out a jagged looking lightsaber with like a cross guard that is also lightsaber-ish.
It's got three beams.
And so, but it looks really, if you compare it to any other lightsaber they've shown in the series, every other lightsaber looks very uniform. Mm-hmm. They look like a bar of plasma or whatever. Very, you can tell where the end is.
Yeah.
This thing looks like the flame coming out of a torch. It has licks and the edges are very jagged. The two crossbars almost look like exhaust ports.
I've heard people describe them as it looks more like exhaust.
Yeah. And I will say there are lots of different types of crystals. They're not even just found on Ilum. And they have different qualities.
Yeah.
So it's entirely likely that they're delving into some of that stuff.
Well, and if it's The Force Awakens, I mean, I was talking about this with Matt Baxter, a friend of mine, as I was playing Destiny, we were talking about the trailer while playing video games. So that's pretty nerdy. He was saying, like, you know, if it's The Force Awakens, we could be looking at, like, some old Sith, you know, heirloom lightsabers from before they refined the crystals used to hone the power. I mean, they could be exhaust ports because they don't have the right ability to focus the power right to make a refined lightsaber. This could be like some old school, old evil Sith lightsaber.
Or it could,
of course.
It could, of course, be that J.J. Abrams or whoever's doing the art direction was just like, well, this will look kind of badass, which, you know, whatever.
I doubt
that. It looks like a fucking Templar sword.
I don't tell you why I doubt that, because Lucas controls so much. There's no way J.J. Abrams was able to make a decision.
Lucas sold it. He doesn't control
the company.
LucasArts.
LucasArts. Mm-hmm. Disney. The company. Yeah. There are people whose job it is to go over this stuff. And I guess, my guess is if J.J. Abrams was like, this would look cool, if it didn't have function, they wouldn't put it in. Because that happens to us all the time at work. Where, like, even where art gets rejected, well, because they don't think it looks right.
We know that's how they are with Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind that Disney, the owner of LucasArts, mm-hmm. as, like, much as Disney, the owner of Marvel.
Technically LFL.
Right.
But yeah.
I have no doubt that they take Star Wars at least as seriously and have as much control and oversight as they do Marvel. They can't misstep. After the prequels,
they cannot.
They have to know how much money this franchise is worth if they do it right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There's so many steps they have to jump through to put through anything. Even names get changed. Like, a name will get changed from what seems like nonsense to other nonsense. And they're like, you can't have the first nonsense because that just can't be.
Well, and so, I mean, right now, what are they doing? What are the active things that they're doing with Star Wars? They have the Rebels CGI show, which is doing very well. I've heard
it's really good.
And then they've had a lot of great, like, Fantasy Flight license games mm-hmm. that are pretty recent. Imperial Assault.
That's coming out.
It's coming out in like just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They've got an upward trend going towards this movie, and I don't know, the trailer, the sound was so perfect. Just the like quivering engine noises and the sound of Tatooine and
isn't Abrams using some practical effects? He's using
quite
models.
A bit.
Mm-hmm. He's using quite models, a bit. Not
well,
just
CG. Old school,
People have drone footage of the Millennium Falcon set and X-Wings on set. And he released a teaser thing last year about this time, I think, where he was talking clearly on like a desertish set, some sort of a bazaar, it looked like, you know, mm-hmm. like a market. And he's talking about how he's not going to he doesn't want to tease people about Star Wars, and he doesn't want to, they take their secrecy very seriously. And behind him, a puppet, alien saunters by with like a huge number of packs on their back
mm-hmm.
and the kind of stops and kind of looks at him and looks him up and down and takes the measure of J.J. Abrams and just kind of goes eh, and like kind of walks off as just kind of a demonstration that like we have puppet aliens
I don't object to CGI, but it's a tool and it's not the only tool, and I think the biggest problem, well, there were so many problems with this prequels, but one of the biggest problems was Lucas wasn't using it as one of many tools. He was using it as the only tool when other things would have worked better.
Look at what's amazing about Star Wars, the original trilogy, the Imperial destroyers and all the ships and everything like that. They're all models. They're all. I mean, they filmed
and
on all those.
And they look fucking real.
Yeah, they
really do. The one thing I'm going to say about that trailer, which, I mean, it's a fucking awesome trailer, but I don't know if you guys have seen it. It only took like 2 days, and somebody produced a Star Wars Special Edition, Episode 7 Special Edition trailer, where they George Lucas Special Editioned it,
nice.
And it's hilarious.
I saw one where they added a lot of lens flare.
Well, that's the J.J. Abrams version.
There was the, before the official trailer got released, somebody, and I do think that this may be, I don't know when they were planning to release it on the internet, if they were planning to release it on the internet at the same time as mm-hmm. the theaters originally, but because this fake trailer got made, this fake legitimately looked almost real.
I know,
trailer got made,
and
it got put out, and I mean, it tricked us enough that we watched it, and Nick was like, that can't be it. Parts of it looked so terrible. A lot of people we knew were saying the same thing for like the first few hours until it started to get picked apart. And people were like, that's a scene from this, you know, thing and this. And
sourcing it.
So, but at first it was like, I can see them being scrambling and kind of like, okay, no, we're going to release it. Because originally they were pimping, go see it in theaters. It's going to be in theaters. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's also going to be on the internet.
The fake trailer made its rounds on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And the trailer had been announced that it was going to be online Monday before.
Yeah, I'll try to make sure I put in a link to that parody trailer. Because it's pretty fucking funny.
But the R2 type unit thing looked suitably
they
cute.
They see me rolling.
Yeah,
they hating.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Was there anything, if you had something you wanted to say about the trailer, feel free to leave us a comment about it. But my boner kind of is tied to your boner.
It is. Our boners are entwined.
The light side and the dark side of the boner.
It's true. I see your boner is as big as mine.
Now let's see how you handle it.
So for the last 3.5 weeks, I've been working on a big proof, my last big like core book proofreading project, which is for the third and final installment in our Fantasy Flight Star Wars role-playing games, which is Force and Destiny.
Okay.
The first one was Edge of the Empire, and that's the smugglers and, you know, bandits and such,
uh-huh.
outlaws, fringers. And then the second one is Age of Rebellion, which is, you know, actual rebellion versus emperor or empire,
rebels,
like military and stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then this third one is Force and Destiny, where you are playing a party of Force sensitives, and you are, and there's a new mechanic that is for morality. And there's another mechanic that's conflict, and like in these, with the way these work together, you either fall to the dark side or you can become a light side paragon. There's certain powers that are only available depending on if you're using light side or dark side. You have to make a lot, all your moral decisions that you make end up affecting the things that, so like you can't just be a Force user wandering around the world and doing things and not have it affect the way that you sense and perceive and use the Force.
Right.
So if you do a lot of bad stuff, it starts to taint your, you know, you start to, and it's, once you fall to the dark side a little bit, it's easier to go further and
sure.
really fuck yourself up.
Is it because the access to the powers you get and stuff like that?
They're easier, they're better, they seem, well, they're more defensive, or they're more offensive, not defensive. It's harm versus
heal. But if you go to the light side, is it easier to stay on the light side, or is it balanced dark side?
It's always tough to balance it. I mean, it's easier in the sense that the stronger you get more power. But the problem is, just like with the Force, you know, when you're, it's harder to walk the light side path because it's not the most rewarding in terms of instant rewards. Like you're not able to hurt your enemies, and you're not able to manipulate people's minds. Like doing things like that they call Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah.
Those are actually like pretty morally bad, because you're tricking another human being into believing something that isn't there.
It's and brainwash.
Yeah, and so like with every morality, there's strengths and weaknesses. You know, because it may be that. Maybe that you're very, let's say you're very organized. That can be great because it can help keep things on task. But if you get too organized, you know, that's the kind of person who wants to make sure everyone is also on task.
And yeah,
you
can become the trains kind of
dictator.
Run on time.
Yeah. So it's, I love it. I think this is the best system. And all the systems work together, but I think this is the best one we've done so far. And it's I think it's going to be a really, really fun book. And I'm really excited also just to have it done. Because it's been like all my free time. It's if I'm not working, I wasn't doing theater stuff or podcast stuff. It was like if I was at home, I had to record. I had to proofread. So I couldn't just be like, oh, I'm just gonna go play video games for an hour. I couldn't justify doing that when I had a deadline. So
right.
It's nice to have that done.
So when's that coming out?
That will be probably usually they're out April. Like April, May is usually when the core book releases, so it should be out by then, I would think. I mean, it's again, we don't like have like hard street dates and stuff, especially
right.
with Star Wars products, because LFL is so very, they know exactly what they want, and so there's a lot, as you can imagine, things have to go through a lot of approvals because they approve everything, and then they have to approve every single bit of
can
every
I cu-
product.
Can I customize a lightsaber?
Yes, actually, one of the things that you do is you can either already have your lightsabers, or we're also introducing knight level play, where you can start playing where everyone's already Jedi Knights.
Like starting in level 10 for D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, we learned that's one of the reasons all these people I know who are freaking out about the lightsaber in the preview and being assholes. I'm like, think about that for a minute, man. Like, it's the stupidest thing I've ever. And I'm like, you don't even know what it is. Like, you don't know what it does. People are like, the purpose of this is dumb. Like, you don't even know what its purpose is. Like, there's all kinds of different crystals. They don't just make colors. They make qualities.
Yeah.
So, like, you can go, and they're not just found on Ilum. Like, they're found on some other planets. And so certain crystals will have qualities like they'll be more like burn damage, or they'll, you know, there's lightning damage. There's all kinds of things that you can do that change the properties and stuff. So I don't know. I'm very excited. It's going to be, I think, a lot of fun for a lot of people. And I like the fact that I've worked on all three books.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
So it's nice to have that,
kinda, continuity.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So I've been very excited too.
Someone said on I don't know some subreddit or someone they said I'll tell you what kind of lightsaber that looks like. That looks like the kind of lightsaber that the guy who got his hand chopped off would make.
Yeah.
Like, you know, right. Someone who'd lost a hand in a lightsaber duel might make a lightsaber that has some sort of a lightsaber hand guard.
Or like, where it won't matter because that hand that they have is fake anyway. So yeah. It won't. It's it's pretty cool. It's been exciting to have kind of a, like a backdoor entry into all this Star Wars stuff right now with the new movie coming out, because it's just been on the lips and the ears of my day-to-day life for the past 3 years, 4 years almost. And because I found out we got the Star Wars license my very first day at FFG. We had an all company meeting and that was one of the announcements. So it's been pretty great. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We anticipate being able to make stuff for this movie, but we haven't anything announced yet.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to see what maybe this will happen. And we don't know what it is. You know, we all have to go see the movie. It's just like the sixth AGOT book. Like everyone at work, we have that license, but everyone at work, it's like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Like we could write a whole new game about it. I don't know. Yeah. Like it's exciting. So
have you? I mean, I know you really haven't done much role playing, Molly. Have you played the Star Wars role playing game?
We played played Age of Rebellion and Edge of the Empire.
I was in a test play group for the first one.
Edge of the Empire.
Yeah, the Edge of the Empire, and then we played a game of Edge of the Empire. We played a game of the other one too. No,
Age of Rebellion. We tried to do a camp. We played the beginner box with the boys.
Yeah, that's right, with the D&D group.
And we did the first.
You know what's going to happen? Knowing our D&D group, what's going to happen is we're going to make a squad of Sith, like a squad of evil fucking Jedi who do what they want. And we're going to roll around the universe, like, killing Ewoks and stuff.
It's cool because I learned a lot about the Sith that I didn't know, because they were actually a people.
A race.
They were Force-sensitive, but they didn't have anything to do with what we now know as the Sith, you know, the religion.
Yeah, they got co-opted like the swastika.
They did. They did get co-opted. And also the Jedi, I discovered, came from another a small weird like tradition founded on some planet that's instead of Jedi, but it's spelled like J-E and then apostrophe D-A-I, the Jedi, like kind of a thing. And so it was really cool. Like if nothing else, this core book is really awesome if you want to read a lot of fun and good and in-depth history stuff kind of in one place.
Even without so much of the EU stuff that's kind of been kiboshed.
It has been kiboshed.
There's still, you know, like 100,000 years of history or something.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's millennia. Millennia of history that's not EU. So.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
So those are our boners. We've got hard boners. What are you boning about?
What gets you ready to bone?
What's got you erect? Oh, we always want to hear what you guys have to say. Commenting on Facebook, awesome. Commenting on the website, also awesome. But I will say, if you're commenting to me, it never tells me when I have a comment. So I apologize if you guys have... I try to remember to go and look, but...
Molly doesn't get notifications.
I don't get notifications. I don't know why. It's decided that since I'm the girl, I don't deserve to know or something.
I get two.
Yeah. The settings are literally the same. Well, Tim, you get two because one goes to all and one goes to the author of the post.
But
and because
Molly
you're
doesn't
the one
get
that,
either.
Well, I get them and she and I are set up the same.
I'll have to. Maybe I just don't look at them right. Anyway,
it's probably because
your
uterus.
It is my uterus. It gets you guys. It makes it so hard to read.
Yeah.
And like, think. So we have five answers.
Yeah.
From Andrew Mlynar. I'm saying Mlynar, and I hope that's right. If it's not Mlynar, then I'm sorry.
Yeah. Then
I'm not that
screw
sorry.
You, Andrew.
I'm not that sorry. Your name's weird.
For you too.
Wow.
Hey, if you didn't,
hey, Andrew, I apologize.
If you don't send a pronunciation guide, Andrew, then
his
we
name,
just...
He knows his name is weird. It's got two consonants followed by a Y. He has to know. It's
he
a
does.
Little. All right.
So our first question is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I've seen a number of very good movies this month, but the one that stands out to me as the best was rewatching Now You See Me.
Really?
I rarely watch movies at home anymore. In order to get invested in a movie, I tend to have to be in the theater sans distraction. But Now You See Me kept me engaged the whole time, even though I'd seen it before. I watched for subtle things I hadn't caught on the first viewing and found the film to be greatly enjoyable. There were definitely flaws, but nothing stood out while I was watching the film as completely outside the realm of logic. It was refreshing to see a film where no one dies, there's no clear good or bad, and had with a twist that actually surprised me, yet did not make me feel like it was Deus Ex Machina.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point. Have you seen it, Tim?
I thought it was dumb as fuck.
I watched the first half. Absolutely, but I don't know if it's... That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad movie.
I thought the plot twist was ridiculously telegraphed.
I think I saw 75% of it on cable.
Yeah, we saw like half of it.
But I hadn't considered the fact that it's really an incredibly non-violent movie.
That's a good point.
And I probably don't consider that very often when I'm consuming media. And I would say that probably most of what I watch and enjoy does have violence in it as a component. So that's a very interesting point.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I
but the movie sucked.
I watch films with violence and without, and I just I thought the film was dumb, and
it's got, I wanted to like it.
I think the kid from Social
Social Network.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I like him.
Jesse. I think it's great. I like him. I like Mark Ruffalo a lot. I do. But you know,
yeah, hey, it's Ruffalo's great. Ruffalo's like a FBI guy.
He's a police officer. I'm not sure if he's FBI.
There's spoilers and stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad other people like
it. It's subjective, we all have opinions, but your opinion's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Question number two, what's your favorite atheist character?
This question is probably the reason it's taken me so long to answer, but I think I finally settled on one. Leonard Hofstadter from The Big Bang Theory is probably my favorite. I don't know that he's come out and flat out said he's an atheist, but based upon the way he approaches everything else, particularly his views on physics and supernatural nonsense, leads me to the conclusion that he likely is one. Every time religion has come up, he's seemed mostly amused by it. Yeah,
so
you can see that.
I'll allow it.
I like that. I mean, like, Sheldon has done. He's the most verbal on that show on the topic, I think.
Yeah.
About God or God's atheism, but I feel like they have an opportunity to have an episode about that with Leonard, with discussing the wedding with Penny and whether or not it would be secular or religious.
Yep.
Because I get the feeling that Midwestern girl,
she's probably Christian.
Is probably raised in a Christian.
I don't know if she's
background.
Christian. They did an episode where she's like going to a psychic and Leonard is just like laughing because it's so ridiculous, which of course is the worst possible way to convince her that he's right.
He's Jewish too. They could also do it. It could also be a good way to explore that, like pleasing your parents and getting married from two different. If neither one of you has faith, but you're coming from two different places,
is Leonard
of faith,
Jewish?
I'm pretty sure.
Because Howard is Jewish.
Maybe I'm wrong. I guess I'm conflating. Yeah. Oh, you're right. I'm conflating them. I just assumed. Because his parents are both psychiatrists, and he's a little fella.
Wow. I mean, you get the feeling his parents, I mean, having met his parents, it's like, how could he have been raised in anything but a secular household?
Well, that's true.
His mom
that's
is so
point.
Analytical.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah. I think the show is probably going to play it safe and not get involved in those topics too readily because it's a pretty mainstream show. Even though it skirts the geekiness stuff and it skirts the science stuff, I think they'll avoid the topic and avoid making an obvious declaration one way or the other. Even having their characters make such a declaration, it'd be too risky.
Yeah.
Then again, they've tackled sexism stuff in that show.
That's true. They have pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
None of my geekdoms really stand out. Probably my geekiest hobby is the countless hours of time I've invested in MMORPGs.
Hmm.
I have put more time into WoW than I am entirely happy to admit. World of Warcraft, sorry guys.
Did you call in sick for Warlords of Draenor?
As in like, oh, I've got such terrible Warlords of Draenor.
Yeah.
I mean,
my Draenor is clogged with Warlords. I need that. Yeah,
that's fair. The problem I think too is like by nature, so many of us, so much of what we do is geeky, and we know so many other geeks that it, like the stuff that probably would horrify other people, like, doesn't seem that geeky to us. Like, the idea that... You think about, like, I really, really imagine, like, a normal fucking person. Like, like an average normal American. Yeah. And then probably 95% of what I do that I consider normal, they would be like, what?
You're such a nerd.
That's such a nerd thing. Like, improv, you know, going to, comedy shows, like, working at a board game company, playing board games,
going RPGs. Going to the comic store every Wednesday.
Yeah, going to the comic store every Wednesday, video games, the shows I watch. Getting excited
about a trailer for a movie.
Yeah. Recording this podcast. I mean, like, that's, to me, this is just normal stuff. And so if you're surrounded by geeks, it also, I can see how we get that answer a lot, where people are like, I don't think anything I do is really that geeky, but I guess I do catalog chickens or something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Question number four, what is your favorite sandwich?
Absolute favorite sandwich is a hard call to make, but the one I really like when I feel bold is to take a sourdough roll, pile it with a layer of turkey, layer of provolone cheese, a layer of honey ham, another slice of cheese, some pepperoni, some stone ground mustard, a pesto spread.
Wow.
Typically, I'll put the pesto on the bottom below the turkey and the mustard on top of the pepperoni.
That's right, you put the pesto on the bottom. There's no other way.
And sometimes when I'm feeling particularly ambitious, I'll add pepperoncinis.
Wow.
Yes, that's a sandwich.
That's great. That's a sandwich.
No ham on mine, but like, you know.
You could do like a roast beef, though, get that similar.
Anytime somebody says sourdough, they're a winner
with
me. Yeah. Big sourdough.
I miss it.
Hard to fail.
I miss it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, question number 5. What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
This is an easy one, and one that I am shocked no one has actually given as an answer at this point. Quote, you don't believe in God? Well, he still believes in you.
Yeah.
This particular statement shocked me so much that I simply had no words with which to respond to the woman who said it. This statement so misses the point that it's hard to express how woefully off track it is. I fail to understand how someone telling me that the thing I do not believe exists believes in me is supposed to convince me that it's there in the first place.
You don't believe in Santa Claus? Well, Santa Claus believes in you.
There are so many logical problems with that simple statement that I could go on for days trying to list them all. It also highlights the difference in mindset between the believer and the non-believer, and why it seems that we are trying to hold back a typhoon with a drink umbrella.
Huh.
That's why I like that analogy.
You don't believe in gravity? Jump off a building.
Yeah. Well, and it is like a logic loop that makes you just. It's the same thing where it's like, abortion. Life begins at conception. No, it doesn't. Like, that's, I mean, like, then we're fundamentally in a disagreement and we're never going to be able to come to a...
dissent.
If I say I don't believe in God and your response is, well, God still believes in you, it's like, we have nowhere else to go.
Yeah, we're done. There's no conversation here.
Like, the fact that you would say that is just such a shutdown. It's such a pat on the head.
Oh, you're cute. You and your adorable atheism. Yeah, it's so cute.
You could at least be like, oh, wow, well, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you is a better statement than he still believes in you. Because at least it indicates that the other person has to do the action and beseech their God. Beseech their God for permission for you to still not be smoten or whatever. Like,
smoten.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. If you would like to write in your answers to our 5 questions, you can send them to 5questions@geeksthoutgod.com. And we are, I'm just saying, we're running a little low. It's getting down there.
We got one.
I'm just saying, if we run out of them, we're going to have to do something drastic.
We'll have to do something drastic. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be fucking drastic.
Good or bad, you guys. You're the ones. I will turn this car around.
God damn it.
No Cape Canaveral for anyone. All right. Anyway, we've been Geeks Without God. Thank you very much. You can please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Feel free to comment on those things. Post funny stuff to our wall. We love that. We also are looking for you guys to rate us on iTunes if you haven't already. If you have, thank you. If not, when it keeps annoyingly asking you to, just give in. Just give in and do it.
It's so easy.
It's easy like your mom. And she's a nice lady, and you should also give her 5 stars because she's a giver. Anyway, thank you guys. Have a wonderful time, and we'll see you later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, what does it sound like when a Jedi gets a boner? Yeah, that's about right.
We're geeks without God. Moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more. more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
All of a sudden, just slipped into vilification tennis.